You might like to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah and the end of chapter 29. How's that? And in our study, you would be reminded, if you would, of the false prophets in Babylon and in Jerusalem. And they're both in agreement, both places, making the Israelites that are still in Babylon, still in Jerusalem, hearing the wrong thing, and those in Babylon hearing the wrong thing. And God sends out that by Jeremiah, the rebuke and judgment of those prophets in some measure. So, because they're keeping the people from knowing what God is doing and why God is doing it, and giving the people the wrong thinking about God and what he does and how he does things. So therefore, chapter 30 is going to put it right smack in the line, the whole thing, when we come to it. I'll read it, verse 1. 31, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. So God's going to make sure he records everything and makes it clear of what he's doing and why he's going to do it. Okay, now having said that, so God is moving. History is moving, clock is moving, all of it's moving in time. The Israelites are trying to tell people what's going to happen in time and how it's going to work in time. But that is not quite true, how it's going to work. Time, the clock keeps ticking and keeps moving, the clock does. God's moving. The whole universe is moving, and God is outworking history. You and I are little dots down here on planet Earth, and we exercise our little world that we live in to some measure down here. Right now, that's what we're doing. But all the while, we come, we go, we eat, we drink. All the while we're doing this, the big picture is taking place. And God is moving. The whole thing is moving. And we're just down here, so all we see is us down here and what we're trying to do and how we do it. But all the time, God is outworking it all in the big picture. It never stops. So here's our little world, and here's the big picture all taking place at once. Now, having said that, I want to try to have us think for a moment, how do we manage this big picture and us little guys down here trying to live our life, coming and going, work, home, and school, and all these things. So therefore, over, if you would please, if I can, doing it a little different, go with me to Genesis. Genesis in chapter 3. Genesis in chapter 3. And you will note, in God's wonderful working, and picking up a movement. Here's time moving, and in a huge way. And the ship is moving, as it were, use a ship. The ship is moving across the sea of life. As the ship moves across the sea of life, the captain, he knows just what he's doing. He's following instructions, heading to a given area. At a given time, the captain is. The passengers, The people, the crew, the people that are on board doing these things, they are not conscious of the orders of the captain or where the captain is going or why he's going. But those on board the ship are doing what they do and manage as best they can and eat and drink and do what they do. And they live their, exercise their time on that ship, but the ship is moving, and they aren't conscious of it. It would be true in war. The general knows what he's doing. The guys in the trenches out there, they don't know. They're doing the best they can, understanding what's in front of them and what they're having to face. But the general back there, sitting, has it all out in front of him. They don't. God has it all out in front. Everything's there. God knows. And we're just here, like the people in the battlefield, like the people on the ship. We're just here. All the things are happening. But God has given us his word so that we can get there different than the captain, different than the soldiers in the battlefield. Over here with Genesis chapter 3, how did God do this to help them? Adam and Eve, they're just at the very starting point. And so as being at the starting point, God is going to help them. And they understand Genesis 3:15, there's a Savior, God's going to die on the cross. And they're to go and enjoy the outworking of history at the very beginning. Now, will you remind yourself in Genesis chapter 3, picking up, please, that God had a unique relationship to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve sinned, and they lost that unique relationship. And therefore, so when it came time on that afternoon, that afternoon they took of the tree, did the wrong thing, and that afternoon, as it were, around 3 o'clock, that after mid-afternoon, verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife concealed themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. That's what they did. They were used to going for a walk every day with God. That's what they did. Every day they met with God in that unique relationship and enjoyed a walk through the Garden of Eden. That's what they had. And you'll notice the word walking is reflexive. God showed himself walking. That's the word. It's a participle. God shows himself walking. Every day he shows himself walking. He himself shows himself walking, moving. And Adam and Eve would walk with him, but not today. They aren't, because they sinned. Now, that's the pattern, to go with God, to move with God down the corridor of time. And here's Adam and Eve when the clock just has started ticking. So, having said that, keeping that in mind, if I could, so making it a habit, as it were, it was a way to do things. So let's see how that goes all the way to you and me. Over, if I can, to Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 5, and sliding over, if I can, in chapter 5, picking up, here's all of the humans being born and being exercised, and God lists those that he's using to outwork history. And in the process of chapter 5, we're sliding down to verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked, verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. He's now 365 years old. He's still walking with God. Now, there are others, maybe, but they are not listed at this point. Verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So Enoch was busy walking with God and doing what everyone else was doing, the children, multiplying, family, and all of that. And Enoch walked with God, and in the say, it's the same reflexive. Enoch showed himself, he himself, Enoch himself, chose to walk with God. This is our sin, they're out of the garden. And of all the people that are walking with God, Enoch is. And in particular, a God, in all of his wonderful things he does, chose to take Enoch. And Enoch never died as we know it. Enoch just the same as if the Lord were to come tonight, right now, you would never die. You would never die. You wouldn't know what physical death is, because you never would have it. You'd just be changed. Now, so that's Enoch. And Enoch is able to live, and the things are getting terrible, as you know, the cursed ground and the thorns and the thistles like we did the other day. And they're all there. So now, when we come in chapter 5 and Enoch, so now sliding over, Noah comes along, Noah's gone, Enoch's gone, and time is gone, and Noah is going to be used to build the ark for 120 years. So, when we slide over to chapter 6, picking up, please, in verse 8, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect, entire, whole, complete. His whole heart, was with God. A just man and perfect in his generation. And what was Noah doing? He was walking with God. The outworking of history, the world, remember chapter 6 and verse 5, the God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts and of his heart was only evil continually. So it isn't a very pleasant time, but here's Noah. Now, Noah, what is the confidence you have as the whole situation around you gets worse? That God, you're walking with God, you're building an ark. You have no idea how the rain and everything's going to be yet, but you're doing it by faith, walking by faith with God. You choose to do so. You choose to honor God in your heart. And he walked with God. And of course, God blessed him and his family in the process of all of that. And God did so. Now, how did Noah walk with God? He chose, reflexive, he chose to walk with God. He didn't have to choose to walk with God. He didn't have to. He chose to walk with God. That's what he did. Now, so over to chapter 17. And you'd recall in chapter 17, picking up, please, if I may, directly in verse 1 on Abraham. And Abram was 90 years old and 99 years old, almost 100. He's going to be 100 when he has Isaac. When Abram was 99 years old and 17:1, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty, Almighty One. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. The word perfect means complete, entire, with all your heart. Perfect. So God, here we are looking, here's our little verb, to walk. It's reflexive again. Perfect, to walk. I want you to walk walk. You choose to walk, Abram. I want you, Enoch did, and Noah did, and Abram chooses to walk with God. You don't have to choose. Everything's going on in the world. In the days of Enoch, the flood's coming. In the days of Noah, the flood came. Here's Abraham after the flood, and things aren't going to go where you think they are. Abraham's going to have to have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Israel. So here we are looking, going down the corridor of time, and Abraham was to go with his whole heart before God forward in a most wonderful, wonderful way, to entire his whole body and heart. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and before you, so we don't lose that little bit with a whole heart, go over, because that's what God's looking for, and just take a break for a moment, and go over, if you can, to 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel, you recall, chapter 13, remember, we know if you seek God, seek him with all your heart, and you'll find him. That's what you're going to do. So, here's David as reminding us, chapter 13 of 1 Samuel, here's David. And David, what about David? What is it about David that got God's attention? He just had a few sheep. He was the youngest. He was a nobody. What makes David so special to God, of all the people on earth and his family and all of them? Wow. Verse 14. 13, 14. And now thy kingdom shall not continue. This is King Saul. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. God's looking for a man that wants God's heart. What are each of these? Adam, here's Enoch, here's Noah, here's Abraham. What were they doing? They were walking with God with their whole heart, their whole entire heart. They were going to trust God 1,000% as they go forward. That's what they were doing in a most wonderful way. They did that. And God is looking for that. God's looking for the man or woman, boy or girl, to want God. He's got the big picture he's doing, huge thing he's doing. In the meantime, he's out working each little life. The ship's always moving. Everything's taking place. And we eat and we drink and go to bed and get up and week, day in and day out, but it doesn't look like we're moving. But everything is moving now. So, and God wanted a man after his own heart. And while you have that thought, don't lose it. Over to 1 Kings. And in 1 Kings chapter 9, and we're looking at David going to help Solomon in the process. In the process, Solomon needed help, and God was going to help him because David was concerned. Now, what was the problem for Solomon? God had a problem with Solomon, but not with David. David wanted to help elsewhere in the here, to help Solomon, his son. He told him. Chapter 9, 1 Kings, verse 3. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house. Remember, 1 Kings chapter 8 is about the dedication of Solomon's temple. So verse 3 of chapter 9, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed or made holy this house, which thou hast built, to put my name there, to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. So if we go and look to the temple, what are we going to find? We're going to find God in his heart. So if we seek God with all our heart, we're going to find him, because God's waiting to be found with all his heart. So, verse 4, and if thou will walk before me, if thou will walk before me, as David thy father, he walked, there's your little word, he walked in integrity, that means with his whole heart, entirely, like Abraham was told to do. David thy father walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments. David. Now, Solomon, you need to do like David. Now, Solomon didn't do like David. He could have done like David, but he didn't do like David. But David did. So all the time, here's God doing what he's doing. History's outworking itself. Back over, if you can, to Numbers and chapter 32. And in Numbers chapter 32, picking up, please, in thought, may I go directly, moving over, as you would know, God giving an account of why Joshua and Caleb survived. Why did they have such blessing? Why did God bless them like that? And he did. They walked with God. From the day they got into the wilderness after the Exodus, all the way into the conquest of the land of Canaan. Chapter 32, verse 11. Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, because, reason, they have not wholly followed me. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, and Joshua the son of Nun. Why? For they have wholly, it's intensive, and intensive this is, intensive. They rolled up their sleeves and followed God all the 40 years in the wilderness. Of all the different, Moses was there, that's true, but they were there. But God honored them. Of all the 600 and something thousand men, there's only two of them. God honored those men. Just what did they do? They followed God. They stayed with God. Year one, here's the first year of the wilderness. Here's the 20th year of the wilderness. You guys hanging in there? Here's the 30th year of the wilderness. Are you hanging in there? Mm-hmm. Here comes the 38th year of the wilderness. Are you hanging in there? Yes. Yes, they are. They aren't going away. They're hanging in there, wonderfully hanging in there. They wholly followed me, and God blessed them. Now, God was working out something. The Israelites got discouraged, and they were dying, and the rest of them that were born in the wilderness, all the replacements in the 40 years, they didn't understand because they weren't there in the Exodus. But, here's Joshua and Caleb hanging in there all the way. Deuteronomy in chapter 8. And they're going with God. God's moving in his wonderful program. In the meantime, he takes the believing heart that's living at that time and takes them on that journey with him. So, here we are looking, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Will you note? I'm going to go to verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. This is the end of the 40th year. To humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. So God, what did you do? God has led them all these years. Now, for 40 years, God has been keeping them as a shepherd, and the sheep are all there. They're all there, accounted for. and all the sheep are there. He led them there. Now God wanted all the, he proved them, he put them to the test. Now, having said that, sliding over, if I can, to verse, in verse 6. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God. If you're going to go, do the right thing. The end of verse 6, there's your verb, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Now, if you're going to be able to go forward across the Jordan, you're going to have to walk with God. And the crossing the Jordan River and all of that wonderful, wonderful event, those events, they crossed the river. Wow. And God blessed them. He blessed them. But they had to understand, they had to walk with God. That's what Joshua did. That's why they won 7 years, defeated 31 kings, took over the north and south of Palestine, and it became God's place. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, and remember now, while you're here looking, turn a page or two back to chapter 5, just where you're looking so you tie it together. The problem that they're going to have crossing the Jordan to walk with God, you remember they had an awesome relationship in hearing God and the Ten Commandments and all of that as you read chapter 5. The problem is they just didn't get it clear that that was God's grace and they were to believe, that's all, believe and God would take care of it. Verse 5:29. Oh, there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. God would just bless the family. God would bless the children. God would do it. But you got to honor God. God's going down the corridor of time, and they just didn't do it because they didn't have a heart. God wants his heart. That's what he wants. Seek me with all your heart, and you'll find me. Now, having said that, a little bit, in the light of that, that keeping that in mind, over to Psalm, and a familiar Psalm, Psalm 81. And in Psalm 81, you will note a wonderful psalm, and you're familiar with it, some of you probably, I hope. In verse 8, Hear, O Israel, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt listen, hearken to me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I'll fill it. I'll take care of you. It's my job, God said. I'm the creator. I'm the savior. I'm the solution. I have to do it. You aren't going to have it without me. I'm required. There's nothing anywhere that can exist without me. I make it all exist. There's nothing. No one. The devil himself can't exist. So, now, open thy mouth. That's wonderful. But, verse 11, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. They didn't want to do it. They wouldn't take any of God's wonderful word and believe God, that God cared and loved and would keep them, and only God can do that. Verse 12, so, what'd you do, God? I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, because they wanted to do what after their own heart. And, the end of verse 12, they walked in their own counsels, like they did the false prophets, Jeremiah, in Jerusalem, Babylon. Everyone's saying, do this, do that. This is how we should think. This is how we should feel. This is what we should be doing. They have no idea of control and where it's going out here. All they have is that little world, and they're using it for their own end, to fulfill their own desires, after their own counsel. Now God gave them up. You didn't want to walk with God? Then walk by yourself. Walk with the crowd. Walk with people. Walk with television. Walk with whatever you're doing. Walk with them. Go walk with them instead of with God. So therefore, verse 13, "Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me," said God, "and Israel had," what did you wish for them, God? To walk, the end of verse 12, it's the end of verse 13. Israel had walked in my ways. That's all I want. I wanted them to walk with me. They didn't want to walk with me. They could have walked with me, but they didn't want to walk with me. Didn't want to walk. So I gave them up to their own ways. And if they had walked with me, as you know, I should have soon subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them with the finest of wheat, with honey out of the rock, would I have satisfied thee. God, you would have done it. And as you know, if you're looking for your family or whatever, you're looking for God to do, take care. How do you take care of your family? How do you take care of yourself? Only so much. And God has to take care. And you're learning to trust God. Do God take care? That's what he does. And only God can do it. I say, no, you can't do it. All the things you do, it won't work. You can't replace God. You can do it. I've been through it, you've been through it. With all kinds of things, and God kept us. Keeps them. Wow. Did you probably think, if you don't remember all the things in your life, think of all the things where you probably fell, broke your nose, or did something else. 1,000 other things you did growing up, you know, and got hurt and everything. And things could have happened, could have hit you, using adults, a car, all kinds of things. And we're still here. And we're only here because God kept us in those things. God just kept us. Now, God, you do that. That's right. But we gotta walk with you, God. That's what we gotta do. And that's what everyone needs to know. We're walking with God, and you're going to have to take care of everything else. So they didn't do that. Now, having said that, that's Israel. Now, jump over quickly, over to Ephesians. And what we're looking at is very simple and very real and very easy. It works. The way it is. Wow. Ephesians. And in chapter 2, as you know, picking up, if I may, in chapter 2, verse 2. "Herein in time past you walked." Remember what we just read in Psalm 81. And verse 12, they walked in their own way, and that's what God did. They walked in their own way. So all us humans are born. When we come, we're all living until we get to know the Lord as our Savior. We're all living, we're walking in the normal way everyone else is around us. "Here and in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit," that's the Antichrist, devil himself, I should say, "that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So all of that's taking place, and you come to know the Lord as your Savior. Verse 5, "And when you were dead in sins, he hath quickened to us together," verse 5, "with Christ by grace he is saved." We get saved in a most wonderful way. Now, God, what happens when we come to know the Lord as a Savior? Well, we walked like everyone else did. We lived and tried to help everybody, help our family, help everyone. And it's very tough today. I think it is. It's very tough to grow, to raise a family, to do anything, because everything is striking against you in one form or another. At work, at home, at school, and it's just hard to make it go. Boy, we got to have some help. And it isn't going to be by our maneuvering. It's God, you're going to have to be gracious, and God will. So now God, that's what we were. All of us were there until we come to know the Lord as our Savior. Then, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God has a wonderful plan. We've said it over and over. God has a wonderful plan for our lives. God has a wonderful plan for the whole business of creation. And in the process, we're part of creation. We're what's being salvaged out of creation. Of all the things of history so far, the Egyptians are gone, the Syrians are gone, the Romans are gone, everyone, the world system as we know it, I should say. And God just saves people. People live, they don't die, they are saved, go to heaven or God's awful place of hell now. Verse 10, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, what are we supposed to do that we should what? Walk in them. Walk, that's the normal. We don't have time to do it, but if we've read Revelation, what are you going to do in Revelation? But hang on, we'll hang on to this. We'll do it one time. Revelation, and in chapter 2, 22, I should say. And you'll notice in 21, I should say, Revelation 21 and verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, 21, 23, neither the moon of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations, this is God, there is no sun. Remember, God is the light. Light. God is the light. And the nations, of them, which all saved people, the nations of them which are saved shall do, what are they going to do? 24 hours a day. There is no more day, so we can't even say that. Can't say that anymore. What do you do in this timelessness? The end of verse 22, and the saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. What are you doing? You're going to walk with God. God has outworked history, and you're there to outwork history in God's will. You're part of it. The believers are, wow, going to walk. Always walking, outworking. Outworking things, inch by inch. Back over, if you would, to Ephesians. And you will note, please, in Ephesians and chapter 4. Verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord... Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you, that you walk, there's your little word, worthy of the vocation, your calling, wherewith you were called. And when God saves a man, a woman, boy, or girl, their whole vocation is now to exercise that life. The reason you breathe, the reason you do anything, is to express that life. Breathing. How do you enjoy physical life? You breathe. And you, it's compulsory. You cannot enjoy physical life without breathing. It's compulsory. You cannot enjoy spiritual life without believing. A believer needs to be believing. A breather needs to be breathing. That's what you have to do. It's required. Required. I'll breathe once a week or something. No. No, it's a way of life. You breathe, you believe God. You walk with God inch by inch by inch. And God is, you're believing God. And God's being God, outworking everything in his most wonderful way. The word worthy means to balance the scale. Well, I think I may even have one still below the scale. And you balance the scale. You balance the scale. You're on this side, God's on this side. Make sure what you're doing, measure up. That's what God said. David, God found a man in David. Here's God. God found a man in David that David's heart wanted to weigh, to balance. He wanted David's heart. I found a man after my own heart, but balance it, balance it. Wow. That's what God's looking for. That's what God wants. And as you do that, and as we do that, as we look to God, over if you would, please, in closing, over to Colossians. And may I pick up, please, all kinds of ways to do it, but this is, we just did the word worthy, so. And Colossians and chapter 1. And you will note, verse 10, in the prayer, what is, God, what do you want? What do you want of us? To have all, I'll read verse 9. For this cause we, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that purpose, you might walk, what? Worthy. Balance the scale. I want you to walk with me. You're trusting me to outwork this big picture that you have no idea of what's happening in Europe or the banks of America or the bad guys or the good guys or the nations and Russia doing what it's doing, China and Iran and all of them. Busy, 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 busy. Ukraine, all of those things. Wow. That's out here. And you or I are right here. We walk, we go into our refrigerator, we're going to do what we do, but God, that's what we're doing. That's right. Walk worthy of the Lord. That's what I want you to do. But God, people are saying all kinds, that's the trouble in Jeremiah. You're listening to so many things about, so many things to think about, fear, worry, control, all those things today. Wow. And you lost your relationship. Walk worthy. And you'll be able to handle those things, to see them like we did, carelessly careful. Carelessly careful, careless, but very realistic in what we do. We understand. So looking to you, God, verse 10, might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And God said, I'll work it out. I'll work out your life. All the while, I'm working out the big picture. It's busy. You aren't going to stop the ship. You aren't going to stop what's happening. It's all taking place. When you go to bed tonight, it's still moving on course as it goes down. And it isn't going to go anywhere. It's going to be. It's going to be. It doesn't make any difference. But they said they wish the global warming and all the stuff they got out there. Don't pay attention. Lock on to God's wonderful grace and go down the corridor of time. God said, I'll get you there. I understand all the stuff going on. I'll work it out. I'm working it out. I'm letting it happen in a most wonderful way. So what are we going to do? Going to go with God. We choose. Reflexive. Enoch called them. Well, they had to choose. I have to choose. I have to choose in the morning. I have to choose at night. I have to choose when I go to bed. Am I going to walk with God or not? I have to make a choice. I make a choice. I'm going to walk. God, I'm going with you. I'm staying with you. I'm going to stay on course. That's what you have to do. I could say a negative and make no choice. Up to me. Hasn't changed. Wow.